Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Thanks for being with us today, our third day of Realistic New Year's Resolutions. And your panelists today are
Naomi,
Bill,
and Doris. So stay tuned. Welcome back, everyone. Glad to have you here again today. We're still working on our goals, and I think it's very important at the beginning of a new year.
Oh, it is important, Doris, and I think this is a great article to kick off 2013, and it's great to have goals, but let's keep them realistic, and, you know, that will help everybody.
I agree, Bill. I think the problem with setting goals for ourselves is sometimes those goals are too big, too grand, too sweeping, like we talked about earlier. Sometimes those goals are just not goals that we can attain. We can't reach them.
Well, and remember, it's important to have people that we choose to help us when we need encouragement. And we do have to be careful who we choose for that, don't we, Bill?
Oh, this is so important. Choose your friends, who you hang out with, the people that can encourage you so that maybe they have some knowledge in the specific areas that you're trying to get better at, and they can not only encourage you, but they can offer helpful advice.
I would say, of course, this doesn't mean you can't be friends with people who don't share your goals. The point is that if you want encouragement about your goals, you should be talking to someone who has already reached those goals, someone who knows what it's like. They've been through it, and they can encourage you in the right way.
That's true. That's one of the things we talked about yesterday. And we also have to go forward one step at a time. So let's start looking at today's lesson. It's on page 12, and we're talking about achieving career-related goals. Now, this is a big problem nowadays with jobs hard to get, and we have certain things in our career. We want to study something we can make money out of and so forth. But how can we do this? Let's talk about that a little bit, Bill.
Yeah. Now, just for our listeners or people, if you're new today, we spent the first 2 days of the article talking a lot about diet and exercise and things like that. So now we're going to move into combining those ideas along with some career-related goals they might want to achieve. A lot of people go into a new year. In addition to diet and losing weight, Doris, probably the second most popular resolution I hear from people is, I need a new job.
I need a new challenge.
Yeah. Now, I want everybody to step back and say, okay, some people do need a new job, but not everybody who has that as a resolution needs a new job. They need a plan. Not a new job a lot of times.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. I do think it's helpful for us to start off the new year kind of feeling fresh. And sometimes we think, well, I need a total change to be able to feel that way. But it's not necessarily true. There's a lot of small steps that you can take that will help you to enjoy what you're doing more, to get more out of it, to be healthier while you're doing it. And all of those goals are really great ones to have.
Well, I think the question that we're going to talk about is a very interesting one because it says, what do you want to accomplish and why? So that's what we're going to talk about today, and that'll be very interesting, I think.
I agree. I'm interested to hear what our author has to say about the topic.
So let's read through line 15, and then we'll discuss this together.
Achieving career-related goals. What do you want to accomplish? Why? Let's say that you have a sedentary job and are focused on building more activity into your life. If you define that as your goal, your chances for success are minimal because it's so vague. Instead, get more specific. For example, going for walks after work, joining a gym, or returning to an activity that you used to do. Also consider non-recreational ways to be active, such as using stairs instead of an elevator. Know why you have a goal. Why do you want to be more active? Go deeply here. Keep asking yourself why. If being more active will make you feel better, why is that important? If feeling better will give you more energy, why is that important? Eventually, you'll get to the core of your motivation.
Okay. A lot of people today have jobs that they call sedentary jobs. What is a sedentary job?
Well, many of us do. That's where people are just, they're sitting in one place. There's not a lot of movement. So, you know, very typical people to be sitting at their desk all day working on a computer for 8, 10, 12 hours.
Well, if you don't want a sedentary job, you could get a waitress job, and then you never get to sit down all day.
That's
the opposite, right?
A lot of sales jobs also. I remember that. Right. My feet were always very sore at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. But I think it has more to do with what you do, like building more activity into your life, something maybe with a little more variety or something to it. I think that's what that's talking about.
Yeah, you know, we talked about, you know, not having to change everything, but you can change some certain aspects, small aspects in your daily routine that can actually change your attitude towards your work and your life. To, you don't have to change everything, maybe just 10 or 20%.
Right. Maybe you think, oh, my job is a sedentary job and that's not very healthy. Okay, fine. How can you change things about how your day goes? That means you can be a little more active, a little more physically moving around. So here it says you want to be focused on building more activity into your life.
Yeah, and don't make everything very vague. Just say, I need more activity. That is very vague. It's not clear enough. It's not clear cut. It's just does not well defined.
Right. It's a little bit cloudy almost. So mm-hmm. your chances of success are quite minimal because you don't really know what you're reaching for.
Well, well, Bill, what if you just say, well, I'm going to go to walk after work and then I'll be better. Is that enough?
Well, we lead into that there in line five, Doris, what you're talking about. Instead, get more specific and then we see the semicolon. For example, going for walks after work. Okay. Set a time. And maybe set a time limit. Say, I'm going to walk for 30 minutes at 6:30 every night.
Or where you're going to walk to, area where you're going to go and so forth.
Sure. Or on my lunch break, I'm going to walk around the park 4 times. Or I'm going to do this activity that I always used to do. You know, I used to enjoy playing basketball with my friends every week, so I'm going to start doing that again.
Or you could even just say something like, I'm going to use the stairs instead of the elevator. That's another good thing you could do.
Yeah, I was thinking of that also, Doris. Is just you could say, I'm not – a lot of people, for instance, in many of the big cities work in office buildings. Don't use the elevator all the time. Go up and down 2-3 floors, and that actually will make you feel better.
Right. We call this non-recreational ways to be active. So it's not fun. It's not the kind of thing you would just do to pass the time. It's things you can build into your day. So, for example, when I need to talk to someone at the office here, usually I'll make a point of not calling or emailing them. I'll deliberately get up out of my desk and walk over to their desk because it gives me a chance to stretch. I feel better if I move around a little bit more.
But this is kind of still talking about the exercise thing. But the question about achieving career-related goals, I think, can go even deeper than that part about whether it's sedentary or not. It's whether you're satisfied with your job. Some people have been doing a job. They do very well. But they say, well, I've been doing this for 20 years, and they're 40 years old or 50 years old. I don't want to do this all the rest of my life. And so they think, well, what do you want to do then? I mean, maybe you're doing fine, and maybe you can find different ways of expanding what you do in your job, using different tools, making your job more meaningful, but doesn't mean everybody has to change their job just because you've been doing it for 20 years.
Yeah, you can look into areas that might open up maybe 10 or 20% of your work day in other areas to just kind of give you some new energy and something new and exciting to work on. You don't need to leave the company. You don't have to quit the job, go work somewhere else. That whole big change. But maybe you could just change a little bit and say, let me work in this new area a little bit. And that will be enough to change your attitude towards your workplace and your job and your boss.
Right. Or even something like learning a new skill that will be useful in your job. Perhaps you use, software, something like Excel or like Word, and you're not that familiar with how it works. Well, if you get a bit of training, you look online for some courses, you get more familiar with how to use those programs to their most, then you can do your job better and enjoy it more.
Okay, so this is talking about physical activity, but also I think the career-related goals, we have to think about whether this year we're going to try to do something different in whatever job we're doing. And it does not mean you have to make a big change like Bill and Naomi just mentioned. You can add certain things to make your job more interesting, more meaningful, develop it in different areas, but go on the same way. There's nothing wrong with building on what you've already learned.
Yeah, and to build on that, and actually we're building on this point in the next section here. Know why you have a goal, and it's important to not just step back and say, I'm unhappy, but and I would need to change, but actually, all right, you really need to dig into this and understand, why do I have this goal?
And why do you want to be more active, and so mm-hmm. forth? Does it make you feel better? So forth. Those are some of the things. There's a lot of questions in this next paragraph.
Yes. So if it is about being more active, you have to keep saying, okay, why? If it will make me feel better, why do I want to feel better? If feeling better gives me more energy, why do I want more energy? Why is that important to me? So you can do the same thing with your career goals. If you say, well, my dream job is really something different, then you can say, okay, well, why is that your dream job? What about it appeals to you? Why does that appeal to you? Is there some way to incorporate that idea into your life now?
Then it gets down to the main point or the core. The core is a center of your motivation. And I think a good tip or a good point here is not always think about yourself. Does it make me feel better? Is it important? Does it make other people? Am I helping the company? Am I helping the world? And so if we can get the focus off ourselves, we think about ourselves a lot. But if we can focus on something else, then we'll find the core of our motivation is making the world a better place, making the company a better place, making your family a better family. Focus on things outside yourself, and I think you'd be a lot happier, Bill.
Yeah, not just think about, oh, me, I'm unhappy, I'm this, I'm that. Instead of that, think about the other people. How am I helping these people? How do I help my coworkers? How do I help my boss?
So maybe that's something that would change this year for us if we still think about, what is this company doing for me? What is my family doing for me? Think about others. Don't focus on yourself, and it might be a better new year for you.
Mm-hmm. If your goal is not just to be happier myself, but to, like you said,
contribute.
Make the world a better place, contribute to something, then you probably will be happier as well.
So I think that's a very good thing in goals is, what am I doing that's really going to help the whole world, the whole situation of what's going on, and forget about yourself, you'll have a happier year, Bill.
Yeah, you'll have more meaning and purpose in your daily existence.
And you get down to the core of your motivation, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you find out, why am I here?
But the problem is, things can still, like we said yesterday, cause us to backslide, cause us to take some steps backwards. So how can we try to prevent that? Let's find out in the next part of our reading.
Think about factors that could hold you back. Time is an obvious potential derailer. Others may include lack of energy to get started, fear of being unsuccessful, or even fear of being successful. Look at your past experience and notice where barriers have gotten in your way. Don't try to do too much. Select one very specific goal and create a sustainable habit. For example, you might decide to take short walks during the workday. Decide on optimal times. Define your walking options. Try putting reminders on your calendar and find a walking buddy to make it harder to skip. After a month or so of success, pick your next goal.
To be derailed means to get off the track, you know, and we think like a train. If you get off the track, it's not moving at all. It's stopped.
And that can be quite dangerous,
It can
actually.
Be very dangerous, so we don't want to get derailed on things. So some things are potential derailers. They have the possibility of derailing us, but if we know it ahead of time, then we can take care of that so we don't get off the track.
Right, and we see here some of those derailers, and we see one might be a lack of energy to get started. And I'll tell you what, first thing I'm thinking about here, Doris, is one, get enough sleep, have a good diet. And if you can have enough sleep and diet, energy is so key, it will just affect your mental and emotional outlook on things.
Right.
Well, and some people are afraid that they'll be unsuccessful or that they've been doing this so long that they're not going to improve and pretty soon they won't be, they'll be useless. I think it's too much focus on self.
Well, another problem is that some of us have a fear of being successful. We're afraid that if we do get our dream job, or if we get that promotion, or even if we, you know, lose weight, people won't like us anymore. They'll be jealous, we'll hurt people's feelings, and maybe that also causes us to take a step backwards. We think, I don't know if this is really the right thing for me to do or not.
Yeah, it's funny. A lot of companies have trouble finding good managers because a lot of people don't want the responsibility. That's fear of being successful.
Mm-hmm.
So another thing, Doris, is also we really need to know ourselves, and we have to look at our past experience and notice, okay, what has gotten in my way before?
Mm-hmm. And for me, one of the things that has gotten in my way is the very first thing we mentioned here, time. Because when we make a big change in our life, we really need to schedule the time to work on that change. And often that's where we get into trouble. We forget that, you know, whatever our goals might be, improving our skills, practicing a new program, eating better, exercising more, all of those things do take up time in our week.
And everybody always says, I have no time. But remember, we all have the same amount of time, and we can decide how we're going to use it.
Yeah, but sometimes you need to sacrifice certain things in order to reach your goals. And that can be a challenge.
Yeah. Set priorities.
Right.
Yeah, time management. What do you spend your time on? I think a lot of people, if we really look at our schedule, there's a lot of parts of our week that we waste on some really unproductive things. So. But I like this next section. Don't try to do too much. We talked about having things be attainable.
Right. We have to say, what are the goals? And then we have a habit that will help us do that. Don't try to just change everything in your life all at once. Work on it one step at a time.
Right. And I like that it says create a sustainable habit. Usually when we see that word sustainable, it's in some kind of environmental article when we're talking about sustainable resources, right? If a tree can grow, you cut it down, you can grow another tree, that's sustainable. But some resources just aren't sustainable. So if you're creating a habit, it needs to be something that you can keep doing, keep growing, come back day after day and keep doing it again and again. So it can't be too big.
Well, line 5 over here in the second column says decide on optimal times. What are optimal times?
Optimal. That would be the best time of the day. And there are different times during the day to do activities. I like this to fit in this sustainable habit and an activity, Doris. I'll give an example for our listeners that I do. A sustainable thing I do at an optimal time is I ride my bicycle almost every day, and it's after work in the evenings, and it's not a long time. It might be 30 minutes, but what I do is I also incorporate in errands that I have. So if it's going to the grocery store or going to the ATM or delivering something, I will combine it with riding my bicycle and get things done.
I hope you have a helmet on.
I do.
So if your goals are work-related, perhaps they have to do with being more organized so you can get more things done. Well, think about it. Decide what your optimal time is to get organized. Maybe you need to do that first thing in the morning when you get to work. Take 10 minutes and just review all the things you have to do, write them out in a schedule, whatever works for you.
I have little reminders all over. Do you? Little reminders what you're going to do. But also you need to find somebody. Let's say you wanted to, say, take a walk at noon. So you say to some person you work with, should we take a walk every day? You make an appointment. That kind of keeps you doing it too because they're waiting for you. So you can have somebody help you be responsible.
Right. And so at work, this is somewhere where either a manager or a coworker could also come in handy because you can say, okay, let's check in with each other on the goals that we had to get done today. How did you do today? How far are you? How's that project coming along? And you can encourage each other.
Right. Or if you go for a walk with somebody before work, after work, then they will be waiting for you and say, well, let's go. And even if you don't feel like it, you go because of them.
Right. Yeah. You'll feel a healthy obligation. You don't want to let that person down. And they also will be there to encourage you maybe when you're not feeling the energy.
Mm-hmm. So then you find you've got that down. Then you can think of another goal. You don't have to make all your goals at the beginning of the year. You can add on to them. But then you also need to do something else. And let's take the last section and read that now.
Acknowledge your accomplishment. Pursuing a goal is a big deal, and you deserve to give yourself kudos. If you're not following through, address whatever is holding you back and get back on track. Share your goals and get help from others. Most people will be helpful, but you may run into a few who may try to undermine you. Strange but true, every dieter can tell you about someone who keeps pushing the cookies. Solid goal-setting tactics will help you achieve any resolution and resolve any issues you face.
Okay, Doris, this is like the icing on the cake after all of this here, these last two little sections we have here. And the first one is acknowledge your accomplishment.
Right. You need to reward yourself a little bit when you reach your goals. So pursuing a goal is a really big deal, and you deserve to give yourself kudos, which is a fun expression that just means you need to congratulate yourself, give yourself some praise, some compliments.
It's interesting how Latin words, Greek words, some of these things have worked their way into the English vocabulary, some Italian, some French words, even Chinese words. But kudos, that's an interesting word. That's a Greek word, isn't it?
Yeah, normally we give kudos to other people. For instance, if I'm going to introduce you, Doris, you're going to be our speaker at our meeting, I would give you kudos while I introduce you. I might say, well, here's Doris Brum, and she'll be speaking. And then I list three or four things that you've accomplished. Those are kudos.
But you don't usually give yourself kudos. Usually somebody else does.
That's right. And actually, I think this is something that we're sort of trained not to do because it makes it sound like you're thinking
proud.
Too highly of yourself. You're kind of proud.
Congratulate yourself.
Right.
Wow, I guess I did okay today.
Well, this is very helpful because we tend to focus on the negative with ourselves. We tend to focus on, oh, what didn't I do? And we beat ourselves up. But the next sentence says, okay, what's a healthy way of looking at these things that I'm not accomplishing?
Well, if you're not following through, so if you're not accomplishing those things that you wanted to, address whatever is holding you back. So deal with whatever is keeping you from reaching those goals, and then you can get back on track. You can start going at it again the way you wanted to. You can go back to what your goals originally were.
So like we said, if the train's off the track, it's not going anyplace. If it gets derailed, or we talked about if you backslide, and we talked about these other things that have to do with getting, or you get burned out. These are all negative words, but you can get back on the track. And so if you get back on the track, say, hey, I'm not going to get all the way off the track. I can see danger ahead. I'm going to just do something about it now.
Right. I do just want to point out that when we do give ourselves kudos, we have to be careful. If, for example, my goal was to eat healthy food, then I should not reward myself with an ice cream sundae.
Well, that's
I should reward myself with something
Thanks
different.
Thanks for reminding me of that.
Like, say, going to a movie with a friend.
But, you know, the last part here, it says that you can share your goals and you can get help from others. But sometimes you do find people, and we mentioned this before, you may run into a few people. You might happen to meet some people who actually try to undermine you. And that's a little bit strange, but we have to consider that a little bit.
Yeah, undermine means to actually keep you from accomplishing your goals. So it is strange, but there are people that maybe don't like the fact that you might be losing weight. And if, you know, there are dieters, and they will have someone who does push cookies on them.
Right. Well, and I think another example of this would be at work. If you are really trying to work hard and make a good impression on your boss, probably one of your coworkers will encourage you to relax a little bit. Oh, don't work so hard. Oh, don't try so hard. Take some time for yourself. Because maybe they're kind of worried that you're going to be successful and they're not.
Well, they don't see your goals as being important, but to you they're important. So the last sentence here talks about the solid goal-setting tactics. They'll help you to achieve your resolutions, and they will solve or resolve any issues you face. So never give up.
No, never give up. And in fact, speaking about career and work, we have a feature that addresses that.
So, Mike, have you thought about my suggestion for a reasonable diet instead of the starvation diet that you were going to try?
I did think about it, Sandy. And you're right. I think I'd experience burnout if I didn't eat anything in my desperation to lose weight.
Good. A healthy diet with regular exercise will result in a lifestyle change for you. Just be sure not to be indulgent with any treats or desserts.
So, what about you? You don't need to lose any weight since you're so petite. Do you have any New Year's resolutions?
Well, I've been a little sedentary the past few months. So I do plan on walking every day for at least 45 minutes.
Maybe I should walk with you. After work, I'm almost comatose, so I end up just watching TV all night.
You're welcome to join me on my walks, Mike. But I also may need you to help me with a non-recreational resolution that I have.
Really? What's that?
I need to update my resume. I've been thinking about changing my career. And I need your expertise on how best to word and structure my background.
I didn't know you wanted to change careers. What do you have in mind?
Well, I've spent 10 years as an accountant, but I really want to join the circus as a lion tamer.
Ha! Kudos to you for being ambitious, Sandy. But do you have any experience in dealing with lions?
Not really.
That might be a derailer, Sandy. The circus usually likes their lion tamers to have some experience dealing with wild animals.
Maybe I can be an accountant for the circus, then work my way into lion taming.
Now that might work. That way you can get your foot in the door and then work your way into lion taming.
I think you're right, Mike. Well, I'll see you tomorrow night for our first walk.
And thanks for being with us these first few days of the year. We have a great year ahead, and there's some good advice here, so let's all follow it.
Absolutely. We'll see you for lots more great articles this month.
And have some reasonable goals, and let us know how you are proceeding with them.
Have a great day. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.